the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Starting with verse 12 concerning the body of Christ. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And let's go through that verse real slow and think about what we're reading about. We're reading about as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, which there are many of them, are still one body. And that's the way the body of Christ is. Amen. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I let you be seated so that I wouldn't keep you standing too long. I want to read a little bit more here. Amen. So, I'm in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Started with verse number 12, and I've read 12 and 13. So I'm going to read those again. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For one by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And I think it's good to slow down sometimes and just think about what we're reading in the Word of God, because it's so easy to read a verse and try to get that to match what we believe. It's so easy to read a verse and try to get it to back up our argument of our religion or our denomination or our belief system, or, you know, because we as carnal human beings have set guidelines for ourselves sometimes that are not really of God. They are more humanistic than they are godly. And we rule out opportunities simply because we feel like we have things figured out and others are on the outside of our world. I've been spending time on Tuesday nights in the last few weeks trying to get a point across, which I will continue to do. That's something that has been bothering me since I was first getting started, yielding to God for the work of the ministry. And that is the human nature problem in dealing with souls. The human nature roadblock in outreach. And I'm not talking about the human nature from those on the outside. I'm talking about the human nature of those who are supposed to be members of one body, yet having many members, we all still drink of that same Spirit. And those many members, those many parts of us, no matter what we are, where we're coming from, the way Paul put it, whether you be Jew or Gentile, and we could say whether you be whatever you are, you know. Now that's the point he's making. No matter where you're coming from, in the church, we're one. And no matter how many of us are in this body, God refers to his church as his body. This is the body of Christ. So the word is saying that for as the body is one, you can consider this particular phrase as your human body, just like you are one. Think of yourself. Just like your body, you're just one person. But you have many members or many body parts. And I don't think anybody wants to lose any of those, right? How many of you be willing to give up your most insignificant body part today? I have tools here. I can cut part of you out if you want me to. I mean, some of you need to lose some weight. Would you like to give up your overweight problem? All right, Brother Mike, come up here. We'll get rid of it. Somebody go get the knife. But you know what? We just don't do it that way, do we? Not in the church. Or we shouldn't be doing it that way in the church. Maybe we do. This is what I'm talking about. The cutting, the hurting, the impatience that causes some to be left outside because those who think they've got it all on the inside do not think it important enough to stay consistent in going after them. Or when we go after them, we take a sharp knife and we try to operate on them and make them be like they should be once they get saved, rather than letting God work with them step by step, little by little, here a little, there a little, in His way. Some of us were brought in baby steps to where we are from where we started out. God dealt with us as children, as infants. He was patient with us. He loved us. When we had problems and we were just brats, and spoiled brats at that, and we complained to God. Our prayers were all nothing but complaints. God loved us through it. When we were selfish in all of our talking to God, I need this, I need that, I want this, I want that. I want you to do this for me, I want you to do that for me. I want what's mine, I want what's coming to me. I want what's rightfully mine. I want to be part of this because I want it for me. Oh God, help me, help me, help me. And most of our mind has been on what it means to me and how much this means to me, what it's all about for me, and how it's all, oh, I'm so glad I am in this because this is my church, and I'm so happy because He's my God. God, you know, I'm your child. I want you to help me. And it's so easy to get our minds so on our childish ways of thinking that we forget that our instructions are to go preach the gospel to all this whole world. And so we get past that infancy of trying to get started with a merciful, loving Heavenly Father who's so patient that the most patient father or mother you know of anywhere cannot be compared to the patience of God. He's long-suffering and He's able just to endure all of our whining, all of our selfishness, all of our failings and all of our weaknesses, all of our stumbling, trying to get started, we keep falling down, trying to get started, we keep falling down, trying to get up with a victorious testimony, and we're trying to get started, and then we mess up worse than we ever did before. And God's still there saying, come on, you can make it. While others give up, and God's still working. While others decide, well, it's no hope, God is just saying, you're going to make it. I believe some of us are here today because there came a time in our lives and nobody believed we could make it except God. Praise God. Because He has proven Himself to be a friend that does stick closer than a brother. That scripture about Him sticking closer than a brother doesn't mean just a brother. He's a friend that sticks closer than your daddy. He's closer than your mother. He's closer than your sister. He's closer than your brother. He's closer than your girlfriend. He's closer than your boyfriend. He's closer than your children. He's closer than your grandparents. He's closer than your best friend that you ever knew in your whole life. Thank you, Jesus. He loves you. Like the song said, when I was playing it, one of my members decided to go a different way. I didn't cut my finger off when he hit a wrong note. I let it just kind of be where it is. And I didn't say, you get out of here because you hit a sour note. I didn't call for a surgeon to come here and remove my finger because it messed up. We did have a man that came here once, but he was weird. He removed his own eye because it offended him. He removed his own right hand because it offended him. We don't do that here. He offended me by doing that, so... Amen. I just can't see doing that. I did not want to chop my finger off because it hit a sour note. But that little finger, you know, I have four more on that hand, counting the thumb. I could still play the piano without it. It might take me a couple of days to want to, but I mean, I could still. If I'd cut that one off, I could still make music. Yeah. I mean, it's just this finger. Whoever uses that finger for anything, anyway, it's just there. We usually use these three and the little one and the thumb, but that one's just hanging out. And I just happened to need it for that one note, just that one note. And I reached over there to get it, and I'm not used to using that finger, so I reached over to get it, and it missed it. And I stopped the whole song for that one little sour note-hitting finger that seemed so useless. But I didn't want to get rid of that little finger there. I mean, I said, okay, we're going to try this song again. And when we got to that part where it missed it before, I made a little bit of special effort to make sure that the strength needed for that little finger to go the right direction and press the right key was there. I thought about it. I put a little bit more effort into making sure because I didn't want to go through that again. That's how God operates with us. We're like a little finger that's on the hand of God because the body of Christ is His church. And there are many parts. Some of us may feel like we're hardly ever used. We hardly ever get to do anything. We just sit here. But when you do get to be used, like that finger was today, try to hit the right note. But if you miss, try to take the little example. It might be a real simple, crude example of me hitting a wrong note on the keyboard, but try to remember this example if you can. Jesus taught with simple lessons, so I suppose we can teach in simplicity. Try to take the simple lesson. Though you seem insignificant, and there seems to be sometimes that there's no place for you, at some point you're going to be needed. And if you happen to mess up in that one opportunity that you get, we still don't want to get rid of you. God still doesn't want to cut you off. And He doesn't want any other part of the body reaching over saying, I don't have any need of you. And now we're not just talking about the local church, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about God's church around the world. The body of Christ is made up of everybody that's in the church of the living God on this planet. Thank you, Jesus. And we're on the internet, but that's not an insignificant thing. I think of the internet and our TV stations that we're on just as important as even this church even being in operation. For anything to go wrong with any part of what we're trying to do that God is leading us forward in, any drawing back puts me in bed and makes me sick. Because I feel called to go forward with visions and dreams and goals that have been planted by God Himself for the future. And so there's only one way to go from this point forward. That's forward, and there's only one way to do things, and that's to grow and not to diminish. And that's if there's anything to be changed in our ambition, it's to get more ambitious. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? I said, I'm not. I'm refiring. I'm going to refire. What are you going to do when you're 75? I hope to be eager to do more than I've ever done for Jesus in my whole life at that time in my life. What about when you're 80? If I have strength, I'm going to be doing what I can for my master. Setting goals, having dreams, having visions, looking forward, trying to see what God would have me to do next. I would be happy for God to call me to start a new church at 85 years of age. So if I died at 86, at least I'd have a year of trying to make it happen. And even after I'm gone, some seed would be planted. Something would happen. God can use you. I don't care how feeble you are. You can have a ministry in a nursing home. If you end up in a nursing home, let God use you. There are souls there that still need God. There are people who have believed on the Lord who by faith have considered themselves Christians, not knowing where they are going because they don't have enough information yet. But they started. And God sees all of this as His body. Some of us are in the church. Others are being born into the church. And the process of birth is not a 9-month period with God. Sometimes it may take a person from the moment of conception, from the moment of believing in Christ, it may be years in the way that we see it before they get to the point of being able to be delivered into the church, into what God considers His body with many members. Meanwhile, while we're waiting on the birth, the example in the Word of God are the words that we can use for an example of how God is operating. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are brought forth. And Zion is often used as, you know, it's the inner part of Jerusalem, but there is a Zion that's also used in a relationship that's known as the church. This is God's Zion today. We're in the heart of the New Jerusalem right now. We're in the center point of God's attention. We're in the place where the action is. And when the church is in travail, when we are really concerned about souls, when we're praying and getting our minds off of ourselves and on the need to help others to be delivered into this body. Amen. God is pleased with that because that's what He instructs us to do. He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. Because in this good news of the gospel of Jesus, you know, the new birth, the birth of Jesus, that is, the birth and the life that He lived and the examples that He gave, and then the death, and then the fact that He rose again, and the fact that He showed power that only God could give, and then He instructed us to go and do His work. Amen. He gave us the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name, who are born not just of the flesh, but we're born of the Spirit. And this spiritual birth has no certain time span that, you know, we cannot do it the way we do it sometimes. We cannot preach the gospel and somebody make a move and decide it's time to bring them to full birth right now, any more than I needed to cut my finger off when I was up here playing that keyboard, when it's still going to be needed at some time. I think someday I may want to play another note with that finger, so I'm going to leave it where it is. There are people in this world, all over this world, who haven't quite gotten into this yet. They don't need to be aborted by church people. Especially since the thing that got them started was God Himself. And He left it in our hands to bring them in with His help. We're laborers together with Christ. I'm trying to stay real simple. Like I said, there's nothing you haven't heard before here today. But you may hear it in a different way, because my concern has held me back a few times, because it's not popular to have the kind of concern that I have to let it be known among your peers. Because with this concern and burden of my heart, if you get it and we get it together, we will be labeled by many people who have loved us in the past as compromisers who have now compromised, and we're just like all the rest of the ones who have gone charismatic. If you're not willing to pay the price to be accused of that, although it will be a false accusation, you are in for a ride, and you're not going to like what's going to happen here, because we're going to start loving people and showing it more than we ever have before. Thank you, Jesus. And it won't be compromise. It'll be obedience. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to change truth. You can't even change it anyway. You don't have to change the fact that you do believe the truth. in order to be real. The problem that most of us are having, and I'm not talking just our local church, I'm talking to the body of Christ now, and we have many members in this body. There are thousands of people tuned in right now. It seems like they're not important since we can see each other and we can't see them. So we can go to sleep while I talk, but out there, there's somebody that needs somebody to wake up and realize that God's still calling. God is still sending. God is still equipping. God is still empowering. And any one of us that's ever maybe failed or maybe hit a wrong note or gone the wrong direction or done the wrong thing or maybe haven't quite been what we should be, He's still being patient. He's not going to cast you off just because your child is causing some pain right now. Amen. Unless you want Him to. If you want Him to, you can ask for it and He'll cut you off. But you don't want that. We don't want that. We want to be part of this, don't you? I've stubbed my toe several times, but it never has looked up at me and said, just cut me off. And it hurt. It hurt. But you know what I did when it hurt the most? I held it. I held it. I held it with both of my hands. I hurt with it. My whole body hurt with it. If you could have come in here a few times and saw me, I was rocking back and forth, holding my toe with both of my hands. Oh, I hurt. I've stubbed it a few times, and I knew it was going to hurt, and I just went ahead and said, oh, before it hurt. Because I knew it was going to hurt. My little toe's been broken so many times. I've gone barefooted so much in my life. I'm from Arkansas, and they really do go barefoot in Arkansas. A lot of us do, but you can get me transplanted into the east northeast if you want to, and you did. But I still got Arkansas mud between my toes. All right, that's a good way. That's just a way of saying I still have my Arkansas ways. And I still meet people in New England. I've been here 26 years. And they say, what you doing up here, Southerner? I say, what do you mean, Southerner? Well, you're from the South, aren't you? South what? 26 years in Norwich, does that make me from the South? You've been here 26 years? Why do you talk like you talk? Because I'm myself. How do you talk like you talk? Well, you have an accent. I think you have an accent. What gives you the right to say I've got an accent when I'm just being real? All you people in New England, snobs, I love you. You ain't going to change me. I am what I am, and I'm going to say y'all till I die. And I'm going to talk slow. And if Bill Clinton can be president, I can be a preacher in New England. And I love every one of you. And I'm not going to stop you from being rude, crude, and New Englanders. And if you don't like it because we have church and laugh and play and have a good time, go on and enjoy your mass. But we're going to have church. And I do it Southern style. And sometimes I joke and cut up a little bit. Praise God, y'all. And that's just the way it is. And I'm part of the body of Christ. And God has a need for us Southerners too. And it doesn't matter where you go, whether it be Rome or Germany, wherever it is. You don't have to change, but you can try to get along with people, but remain what you are. I'm going to be a born-again, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-name person no matter where I find myself. If I go to the cathedral or if I go to some... if I go visit the Pope, I'm not going to change what I am. If I go to the Vatican, I will be what I am. And I will talk with what some call an accent. I consider it proper. All the people in England have accents as far as I'm concerned. And they say they speak English. Hey, I speak Arkansas. And if you really get really down to it, yeah, if you really get down to the nitty-gritty, I talk Northeast Arkansas. And in Northeast Arkansas, there's a dialect we have near Lesterville in a place there between Pocahontas and Walnut Ridge. When we're talking about a group of people, we say, Ewens's. Ewens's going to go to town today? I can always recognize when anybody's from that neck of the woods because they're the ones that say, Ewens is going anywhere? Ewens is going to eat after church tonight? You get outside of that little circle and people say, y'all going to go anywhere today? And you move far enough north and you guys going anywhere today? And you go northeast. What's up? In the Church of the Living God, some of us in our natural bodies are fat, some are skinny, some are tall, some are short, some are ugly, some are pretty. Some have hair that's combed, some have hair messed up. Some of us have wrinkles, some of us have stretched out wrinkles. And in other words, overweight. Some of us have hair, some of us once had hair. God's really got a problem who's trying to keep count of all the hairs here. You know, some people read about all the hairs you hit are numbered, and all they can see is poor little old God up there trying to keep count of all these hairs. 1, 2, 3. It'd sure take him a long time to get around to us if he had to count everybody's hair like that, wouldn't it? Well, what that means is every fiber of existence is accounted for. God knows. God knows where everything in creation is all the time. He knows. There is a zero place that science has been studying now. I guess Brother Bradley probably knows about this stuff. But a zero in matter. I mean, there's a place where it's so minute, so small. It's smaller than small. It's invisible beyond invisible. It's kind of like the antimatter, you know, black hole type stuff. I'm talking about things that it's there, but it's not, but it is. Yeah, like a lot, yeah, you're not really here. I mean, you get into it deep enough and you become a black hole yourself. But there are things in the human body that are necessary that we can't see, but God knows where it all is. There are things that are operating that are smaller than the molecules that you may know about, that are smaller. You know, in this past century, man learned how to split the atom, but he never saw one before he split it. It was all based on the fact that it is there because of the fact that certain things happen when certain things are done. And so, I don't know of any human being that's ever absolutely seen an atom. And that's Brother Bradley, because he's an engineer. But I've seen the diagrams and the equations, and I've been bored by professors with these long blackboards, you know, just writing all this X equals Y, Y, Z equals plus, minus, Z plus X, you know. And when they get all the way down to the end of it, there it is right there. I don't know what they're talking about. But they were able to find a way to make a humongous amount, that's Arkansas Northeast too, a humongous amount of energy just suddenly explode. Yesterday, Hawaii got all ready for this. What do you call it? Tsunami. I don't know how you say that in Arkansas, but anyway, they got all ready because, and I was ready. You know, everything I did throughout the middle of the day yesterday was based on the tsunami hits Hawaii at 4:05. So no matter what I was doing, I kept on watching the clock because at 4:05 I wanted to watch this great big wave come sweeping in. See, because I didn't have a good understanding of how tsunami works, I could just see this 60-foot-tall wave coming down through the ocean, you know, and all the ships being destroyed and people going up in the air and, you know, and flying away and being gone forever. I could just see this great big thing coming sweeping. But at 4:05, what did I see? Ships that had been instructed to go out and rest in the ocean while waiting on the tsunami to hit. At first, it kind of startled me. Why would they do that? Why would they tell these people to get on their boats and go out into the ocean a ways while this 500-mile-an-hour force through the Pacific Ocean comes sweeping in? Why would they want their boats out there in the middle of all that? Because in my mind, I didn't understand. I never studied. I didn't know anything about tsunamis. All I knew that when they hit, it hurts people, kills people. And my knowledge of it was when I turned on a video and I saw what had happened, all I saw was a lot of water came sweeping in. So in my mind, I had it figured out. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an engineer. I had it figured out. I was going to watch it at 4:05, and here was going to come this great big wave. It was perfectly calm, almost, just natural. You know, a few little white caps, and I was just staring on it to see when it's going to happen. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? I stared on it so close, and they had somebody with one of these little cameras out there, you know, with a live feed coming through Skype on the computer. And so they had that focused in on the ocean, and a big old whale jumped out of the water. I saw the whale. I saw this great big whale come rolling out of the water, his big old tail, and I thought, I just saw a whale. I just saw a whale. And I got my attention on the whale, and I wonder if anybody else saw it. And then I heard the newsman say, I think we just saw a mammal. He's probably from the Northeast. I'm from Arkansas. We see whales. Amen. But at 4:30, this 500-mile-an-hour humongous wave that's supposed to wipe everything out, I couldn't see anything. It's just calm and normal, perfect, beautiful Hawaii. 5 o'clock. At 5:30, I was wondering, what's going on here? And then I turned on the news later, and they said, it hit. While I was watching it hit, it just didn't do as much as I thought it would do there, but it went on and said it may be worse for Japan. And so I stayed up late last night to watch it hit Japan. And right before it hit Japan, they canceled it. But yet they said, but it hit, but it, the warnings are, you know, no longer tsunami warnings. What is going on here? This 500-mile, in fact, I heard one person say, it covers the entire Pacific Ocean. It's going 500 miles an hour, and it's going to hit every nation in its path. And I just trying to find every nation so I could watch it as it hit each one of them. Then I decided I better study up on this thing because I don't understand what's going on here. And I found out that it's not like I thought. It's not like I thought. And I'm not going to try to explain it because I don't know enough about it to explain it, but I'll do it the Arkansas way. It's something that it's on the floor of the ocean. It's coming from the bottom of the ocean. It's like when this great earthquake hit, it's like dropping a great big giant rock into the ocean, you know, and then moving it real fast along the bottom. And then at some point, it's going to hit, and everything else is going to go right across the land. That's my Arkansas way of saying it. I don't know how scientists say it, but that's what I pictured. Am I getting close, Brother Bradley? Oh, I'm teaching the engineers some stuff today, Arkansas style. But this thing did hit these places. And in some places, there was damage. There were things that, you know, happened. It's different everywhere it hits. But it did what it was supposed to do. Not anybody wanted it to, but the fact that I'm getting to here is I heard somebody finally say there is really not enough data yet on tsunamis to be able to forecast exactly how it's going to affect these places, because the science and technology and the ability to track these things is young. But give us time. I remember back 40 years ago when you'd hear the weather forecast, sometimes it would do just the opposite. Remember? Because forecasting was more like being a witch doctor, you know, back, you know, you just kind of like look out the window and see if it's cloudy, and then you say it's cloudy. It's going to be cloudy. I remember I operated a radio station. I actually, this is way back there when I was just getting started operating on radio, and we had it was KPBA. KPBA 1590, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Now looking through the KPBA periscope, we see that the weather is partly cloudy and the temperature is 86 degrees. And we're expecting a high today somewhere in the mid to upper 80s. Low tonight may dip down to the low 70s. And we're looking for partly cloudy skies, possibility of some rain. Stay tuned as we continue to monitor the KPBA periscope. We had a big fanfare going into that. They had music, brass band. And we would peer through our weather KPBA periscope. You know what that little weather thing was? It's a little hole in the wall of the radio station. And a little pipe going through the hole. And the other side of that pipe, there's a thermometer that showed the temperature. And if you look past that on each side of it, you could see off in the distance, whether it's raining or not. And you're just asking about if it's cloudy. And we made up our own forecast. Stay tuned as we continue to monitor the KPBA periscope. And I remember how we used to do the latest news. That station was, it didn't have a lot of money, you know, that particular station. In fact, they went broke later, and I helped them sell the station, helped them negotiate the deal. Sold a whole radio station for $50,000 to a friend of mine. He sold it to another friend of mine for $350,000. They went bankrupt. My other friend got it back, and it sold for $1 million later. But I was in the middle of all that. But back when KPBA was new, our news was newspapers. And we'd come on with this big fanfare, da-da, da-da, the latest news from the KPBA newsroom. And then we'd have these yesterday's newspapers, day before yesterday's newspapers, and stuff that we wanted everybody to hear. We made it sound like, man, this is happening. It was real. I can tell all this now because most of those folks who work with me are dead now, or they're scattered. You don't know who they are. But the point I was making about that tsunami is there wasn't enough data. But you give it time. Just like now you hear a weather forecast, you can hear them say, at 12 o'clock, it's going to do this. At 1 o'clock, it's going to do that. At 3, and you look out, and it just about always happens exactly the way they say. They miss it sometimes, but over a period of time, people become more capable because information, as information continues, and people study into this stuff, they start learning how to be more accurate. Amen? If man can do that, based on how much information he has, shouldn't the church be able to figure out how to win souls after 2,000 years of trial and error? And the mighty God that made all things, including the things you can't see and the things we can see, and including us, with instruction to how the body should operate. And we have all the data we need right here in this book. It's all right there. The way it was done in the beginning, the way it's instructed to be done, all through till the end of it all, it's all right here. Shouldn't we be able to figure out a way to obey God in this day that we live in? If weather people can figure out how to predict the weather, if people can at least know that it's going to hit somewhere sometime today, we don't know how much damage it'll do. If they can do this, we ought to be able to figure out what God is saying here about these members of the body. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. You know what? I've heard this taught on and preached on all my life. I've almost never heard it talked about as a soul-winning scripture. It's always proof that we're right and they're wrong. Bless God. We're all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Praise God, there's one God. I've heard some wonderful, powerful one God messages on that. And I've heard some attacks against the Trinity and all these Trinitarian. You'd think that all people that believe in the Trinity are devils from some friends that I've heard speak about these things. When we mention Trinitarian or we mention some belief that we don't see in the Word of God, it needs to be with love. That's the point I'm trying to make. Hallelujah. If your knee hurts, don't you still love to have a knee? If you turn and go the wrong direction, do you want to be killed because of it? Do you want to be attacked because you were wrong? If you thought you were right and you're out there going the wrong way and you're lost, do you want somebody that knows the truth and knows the way to kill you? Or wouldn't you prefer that they try to help you to find the way? But so often, the people who are supposed to be following the instructions of God concerning His body find somebody that doesn't agree, and we just spiritually kill them. Cut them off. Get rid of them. Close the door in their face. Don't need them. Amen. So I'm using this scripture today more so for soul winning than I am for what we usually use it for, because it's very appropriate, I feel. Because the body's not one member, and it's not just your local church, it's not just us. Praise God. It's not just an organization, it's not just a particular denomination. If the foot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, I'm not of the body. If the foot says, I'm not the hand, since I'm not part of this body. Does that make it not part of the body? Amen. If your ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Does that make it not part of the body? You don't really notice you have ears till you can't hear. Or unless you happen to look in the mirror and one of them seems like it's too big, or, you know, maybe you slept on it the night before and it looks funny and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with my ear. But ordinarily, we don't even hardly think about our ears. So if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, you know, because I can't see. In other words, if somebody you know, looks at Acts 2:38 and says, I can't see that. I'm a Baptist. Is it therefore not of the body? Because, and I'm not saying word Baptist in a fighting way. I'm saying that as an illustration, letting the Baptist represent all other denominations other than what we claim to be part of. Or I could say Methodist or Episcopal or any Protestant or whatever. If somebody of a different denomination than what you're a part of says, since I'm not Pentecostal, I don't really have a need of you. That doesn't mean that they don't have a need of us, because we are the body of Christ. And if they're out there able to hear, the fact that they can hear and we're instructed to preach, and the fact that many of them are believers and God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. So if somebody out there has believed on Christ, and we hear it in all the crusades, we hear it in the Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, all these things. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Christ as your Savior. We see people with tears in their eyes believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has a body which is His body. It's the body of Christ. With instructions, go out and preach to all these folks. God's chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save the believers. But the childishness of human nature has chose through the foolishness of preaching to destroy the believers. Through foolish preaching. We get it wrong. Not everybody. But it happens so many times. I'm not here to attack people of the body. I want all my brothers and sisters. I love the apostolics. I love Jesus' name. I believe it's right. I believe we're in the true church. I believe we're part of something that's real. But that doesn't give us a right to destroy everybody that can't see and everybody that can't hear. You don't walk up to a blind man and kick him in the ribs just because he can't see. Thank you, Jesus. You tell a child there's not a Santa Claus and that child believes there is one, you don't knock the kid in the head. Let them have some time to grow. Then knock. No, don't do that. Let them have some time to grow. And then reach for their heart. And it's only done with some love and some patience. Amen. So if the whole body were an eye, just think about what we would look like if we were all eyes. You know, nothing in here but eyes. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Or if the whole body was hearing, what would we look like if everybody came here, only came with your ears today? That's it. Nothing else. I know. But your ears need the rest of your body, don't they? The ears need the rest of you. So if the whole body was hearing, wouldn't you still need a nose? Where would be your smelling? I mean, sometimes that might be a blessing, but still. But we wouldn't want you to show up with only your nose. Brother Mike always gets here nose first, but I didn't get that on video, did I? I got it on audio, though. Got it over there. Brother Mike always shows up first with his nose. I'm sorry, Brother Mike. Amen. But if the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So if we're set in his body, the body of Christ, as God has placed us here, as it has pleased God, and if they were all one member, then where would the body? In other words, don't just show up with only the way you feel about it, your private interpretation, your prejudice. Don't be out there to talk to a believer that's being brought forward by the power of God, and God is smiling and looking forward to a birth, a new birth experience with the help of his church, with the travail of Zion to bring this new birth about. Don't go out there and see somebody that's in a wrong church, in your opinion, and just decide to take it on your own to be the mouth, and that's all you've got. Because all you got is your big mouth. Where's the rest of us fit in? Or just don't show up just with your brain, your intellect, the way you feel about it, the way you believe it. There needs to be something that the whole body of Christ, according to the Word of God, see the example of Jesus Christ in an earthly being form, walking on the shores of Galilee, healing the sick, raising the dead, supplying the need, working miracles regardless of who's doing what or where they're coming from, loving everybody, helping those who are down and out, encouraging those that are discouraged, giving hope to the hopeless, helping those who are helpless, making a way when there seems to be no way. And he says, now you're my body, continue on. Thank you, Jesus. We never did see in the body of Christ his brain showed up before the rest of his body. We never did see a mouth just going out there in the body somewhere over on the other side of the hill. here comes the mouth saying, you better get right, you better get right, you need to believe like we believe. We need. Can you just picture a mouth running everywhere? But we've got a lot of that going on in the body of Christ today. Amen. You turn on the internet and there's sometimes nothing but mouth there. On Pal Talk, get in just about any room that you want to and you're going to find nothing but mouth saying all kinds of stuff that's not godly, claiming to be part of the body that we're part of. I'm not talking about those heathen people of that other religion. I'm talking about those Jesus name apostolics, and I'm not down on Jesus name apostolics. I think that's the way to go. I believe that with all my heart. But we don't just need your big mouth. We need the whole body in this thing working together. And we get the whole body of Christ working together, some of the way you talk will change. Some of the way you reach out will change. Some of the attitudes will change. It'll be conformed to His image. Some of the way we think about others will start changing. The way we operate and the way we do our outreach, it won't be this, I believe in this, so what do you believe in stuff. But the body's not divided. The body is something that is in oneness and one accord and in a unity. That's the way God's body is. Christ is not divided. Everybody say Christ is not divided. I'm going to try to hurry this up. I'm leading to, you know, my bottom line is not too far away from here. Amen. So God has set many members, each one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. If they all were one member, then where would be the body? But now there are many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have a need of you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, the finger that hit the wrong note, or the toe that keeps running into chairs. They're necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. That's the way Jesus does it. And our uncomely parts, that's the parts of us that maybe too much flesh, too much fat, too much, you know, in other words, a part that we look and say, ooh, I'm ugly. Or, you know, part of, you know, that freckle on you in just the wrong place on your face, you wish you didn't have it. But you don't want anybody to go in there and start cutting on it right now, do you? Amen. Our comely parts, we think they don't have a need. You might be sitting here thinking you're no more than a freckle. We still don't want to lose you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You may be out there just believing on Christ and think you're nothing but a mole on the face. If you're on the face, praise God. We'll work with you. Those are comely parts. Might think we have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. There are things beyond the things we cannot see that are still being discovered. Things that undoubtedly God uses in healing of the body. Amen. There are places in the body where the body can heal itself. We can't see it, but God put that in us. That's why when we cut ourselves, we can have confidence it's going to get well. I was just sitting at my desk the other day, sitting right over here, right at that little computer desk, just sitting there by myself, not bothering anybody. Nobody was around me. Nobody was close to me. I was just sitting there, lifted up my hand, and it hit something on the bottom of that desk, cut my hand, blood went everywhere. And I thought, now what in the world is going on here? Just sitting at my desk by myself, doing nothing. Picked up my hand. There it is. I said, oh no. I could have easily said, I don't agree with you. I don't believe it like you do. What do you think coming in here and interrupting my peace? No, you know what I did? I grabbed my hand, and the part that was bleeding, I held on to it. I held on to it till I could get to a place where I could keep from getting it all over the carpet. Well, I don't know what I hit, but it was a gusher, I'm telling you. I hit something there. It was just, man, it's hard to Sometimes you hit people and it hurts them pretty bad. I'm telling you, you can use words to pierce deep. It may not seem like much, but people are really sensitive sometimes. And if they've started out believing in God and you're calling them a devil just because they don't see it your way, maybe you need to go back to see what the body of Christ is all about and watch Jesus heal people who don't see things His way. Thank you, Jesus. The healer still heals. The lover of humanity is still loving us all. The one who gave His life for all of us so that whosoever will could come unto Him is still loving all the people of the world. He says, hey, church, help me with this. Help me with this. Help me to bring healing to those who are hurting. Help me to bring some enlightenment to those who can't see, who are walking in the darkness. Don't hurt them. Don't pierce them. Don't cut them. Don't destroy them. But love them. And don't give up what you've got. I mean, don't cut yourself out in the process. Amen. So anyway, we're all members of one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And the members that seem more feeble are necessary. Members of one body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. So actually they're part of the body. I mean, I've had warts before, but I didn't want anybody to try to pull one off. Did you? Amen. I've had ingrown toenails, but I wanted to be careful with them, no matter how much they hurt. Amen. God's given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. The hurting part, the part that needs the most love, needs the most care, needs some tender handling. Amen. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. You might wonder, well, who is that? Well, there are 12 of them. You can read about them in the Bible. God set them in the church. They're still our apostles today. When we read Acts 2:38, we're getting the instruction from one of the apostles. The apostle of the Lamb by the name of Peter, appointed by Jesus Christ Himself, the words that he spoke are still the words for the people to listen to. And they're usually brought to us by some preacher or some anointed child of God with a fiery testimony about what the apostle instructed. Secondly, he's given us prophets. Well, who are they? They're all through the Bible. And any prophecy you hear today has to be according to the prophecy that's already there. Nobody can be a new prophet with new information and change what's in the Bible. Whatever is prophesied today has to be according to the Scripture, because this is the meat for the body. This is that which God has supplied for our instructions on how to feed ourselves and how to be strong to help others. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the eye, just because you can see, you cannot say to the person who can't see, we don't need you. But what if God sees them as part of the body? Or just because your intellect, the head might say, well, I don't need those who don't understand. When God says, I want them. That's why I'm dealing with them. That's why they believed on me and I blessed them. That's why when they get tears in their eyes and get emotional because they left their wicked ways and started to follow me in some Baptist church or Methodist church or Episcopal church or in a Catholic mass and they're sincere, I'm dealing with their hearts and I'm loving them and I'm wanting my people who are called by my name to work with me, for we are laborers together. Look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. I have meat to eat of you don't know anything about, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I get my enjoyment in ways that most of the human nature does not understand. The body of Christ is looking to set on the well for somebody that needs love. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody that needs understanding. Somebody that needs to learn what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. So, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Oh, who are they? Well, it's not just everybody that claims to be a teacher. The first teacher we should look to is the Master. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are in the Bible for a reason. Get the heart of the teacher as he teaches a multitude. He's not just teaching people in Jerusalem. He's teaching mankind the way of Christ. Hallelujah. The compassion of Christ. The love of Christ. The ability of Christ. The patience of Christ. The long-suffering of Christ. The endurance of Christ. And then all other teachers need to get their example from that. And if your teachers are not teaching you the way of Christ, then they follow some other example, then you need to still look to Christ. Praise God. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he was saying to the church, if I veer off and I don't stick with the way he does it, follow Christ, not me. Thank you, Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. Some interpreters make that to mean that he said, follow me because I'm following Christ. That's not what he was saying. Follow me as I follow Christ, because if I'm not following him, he's saying, don't follow me. So we got all these teachers in the world teaching us how to live right, and if we can't agree with them, they want to kill us. Or, you know, and we can think of all these people over there, you know, that knocked down the Twin Towers, and all these people that did all these terrible things. We can criticize them, and we can just say, oh my, those people are terrible, believing like they believe and doing us like they do, their religion killing people, stuff like that. When the very ones of us saying those things are doing the same thing in a spiritual way. We're knocking down towers all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the way the teacher said to do it. Hallelujah. I hope somebody understands what I'm saying. That's not the way he said for his body to operate. God's body, Jesus Christ, the body, the church. That's what he has for a body today. When Jesus returns, so many people have him pictured as one man coming down through the clouds and a big trumpet, you know, big as the ocean, sticking its head through the clouds, you know, da da da, and all the cemeteries burst open, bunch of skeletons set up straight, and all of a sudden skin comes on them. Some of it comes out of the belly of birds and fish and, you know, scattered all over the world. Here it comes together. All these body parts. Here they are. They stand up. Ah, hallelujah. The trumpet sounds. Da, 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 and then appears the face of Jesus. Beautiful. Hey, that'd make people shout, I'm telling you. I'm not saying I don't believe it's going to happen. But it's better than that. Amen, amen. It's even more unbelievable than that, the way it's really going to happen. It's so great that man cannot describe it. It's like trying to explain heaven. Streets of gold, mansions of delight. That sounds kind of boring to me after the first 10,000 years. I want something more than golden streets and mansions. But if that's all I get, I'll still take it rather than the alternative. But I believe it's more than streets of gold. I believe it's more than the best house we ever lived in. Why do we need a house to live in? We're not ever going to have a pain. We're not going to get old. And everywhere we're going, we're going to be in perfect condition. Who needs to stay at home all the time living like that? Let's praise the Lord, shall we? I don't think I'm going to spend my first 1,000,000 years in heaven sitting in a recliner with an aching back. I'm going to get a little exercise when I get up there. Not that I'll need it, but I think I'll get some. We're going to have a good time, I believe. Hallelujah. So, ta-da! There it comes, there it comes, there it comes. I mean, all these earthquakes, you hear people talking right now. Oh, man, all these church people. Ooh, the time is coming to an end. Oh, it's the end time. The prophet said it would be like this. Oh, which prophet did you listen to? Well, the one, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist said it. They said it'd be this. Well, the Jehovah's Witness said it'd be this other way. Well, yeah, but the Mormons said it'd be this way. Why do the Pentecostals think about it? Well, why don't we just look to the Word of God? Hallelujah. Man's interpretation. Now, I had a kid friend when I was young. He had this friend that nobody could see. And he was always talking to his friend. Riding the car, he just sat there just talking, having a big old time. Little bitty kid. Who are you talking to? I'd forget the kid's name. He called his name. He's not here. Oh, yes, he is. He believes it with all his heart. He is. He is. He needs to use the bathroom. Stop the car. Then he said, I'll go with him. And then it took forever to get back in the car. And he said, what took you so long? My friend had to stay a while. He had stomach ache. We tried to talk sense in that kid. He couldn't believe, you couldn't. He had a friend, and he talked to that friend, and it was like nobody else existed but his friend. And you didn't talk bad about his friend. You didn't say his friend's not there because he would throw a fit. So we just let him enjoy his friend. I don't know if he ever got past that or not. He's middle-aged now, but he probably did. But I know one thing. You didn't dare try to take away what he believes about his friend. The truth of the matter, when he'd get hungry, it was his friend that was getting hungry, and he needed to help him eat. It's like everything, it was always, it's like his friend, but it's all about himself. He was just into himself, and he was just like talking. Is like his friend, but I can't understand all that. Maybe you go talk to a brain guy or something. But this, and I've got to quit here pretty quick. But this trumpet coming through the clouds, it's better than that. If you have any knowledge at all in the body of Christ about what this is all about, in the past hour, you've been listening to a trumpet sounding. At the last trump, then it's all going to come to a head. When the last preacher has spoken the last message, the last time that one will ever be preached to the multitudes in the body of Christ, then the end will come. The trumpet is not a trumpet. It's the Word of God being proclaimed. And the clouds of glory are not clouds of moisture about to turn into rain. We've had glory clouds right here in this building today. And Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory. And you can start an argument real fast when you start getting to this next part I'm going to mention, because they'll say, well, wait a minute now, he says, in like manner, just as he, you know, he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. You remember what the Bible says? It's like this mentality. We're living in the space age. What goes up needs to come back where it came from, you know. Go out, circle the earth a few times, come in, we sit up late and watch it land and come back to the same place where it came from. Not understanding people have to have everything go to the old Jerusalem and still call it a holy city. And have to look at the Mount of Olives as the place where Jesus can only land. I want to tell you why Jesus is bigger than one man standing on the Mount of Olives. When we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. He'll be sitting on the throne. But if you want to know the whole truth, Everywhere you go today, if you can find true believers, Jesus is there. We're the body of Christ. I don't really know how to number. I mean, we call it the second coming of Christ, but we've already arrived. And I don't think we left our head in heaven. We are the body of Christ. Every time we show up in your life, you need to say, Jesus is coming. Wow, He's here already. And we need to operate as if that is true because that's the Word of God. You're the body of Christ. You're not just a nose. You're not just a mouth. You're not just an attitude. You're not just a Pentecostal. You're not just an organized body. You're not just a denomination. You represent Jesus. And He went away and He came back. And He sent us forward. And we're here and we're Jesus people. The trumpet is sounding. The dead in Christ are the people in the church who are not listening. God doesn't operate like man does. You're not going to go by a cemetery and see a bunch of skeletons suddenly set up and then say, salute, hallelujah. That's not going to happen. We shall be changed to be like Him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And everybody's looking forward to that change. It should have already happened when God gave you His Spirit. I'm not saying there won't be some more changing, but look, your old feeble hide is not what's going into heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, you need to start listening to the Word of God and find out where the body of Christ is and don't be something to want to divide that and cause pain to others. Because we can't be part of His body if we don't operate according to the instructions given to His body. God takes care of His body. He feeds it with the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all made to drink of that one Spirit. Hallelujah. I got to finish now because my bottom line is actually the first part of 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, in the ending of where we are, you are the body of Christ. God has given us the apostles, prophets, teachers. Then after that, miracles. You want to see examples of miracles? Don't run to Benny Hinn or Billy Graham or somebody, you know, or somebody that you know about that's having a lot of miracles going on. If somebody says, well, Jesus is moving over here, or Jesus is moving over there, Christ is in the desert, don't listen to them. Go back to the Word of God and find where Christ really does miracles. See how He did it, the attitude, who He gave miracles to, what was going on, and then realize we're part of that. And what Jesus did, Jesus does. If people can be healed 2,000 years ago when the body of Jesus is there, they should be able to find healing today when the body of Jesus is present. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? And then there's no answer right after that question mark. Are all prophets? There's no answer there. Are all teachers? There's no answer there. Are all workers of miracles? There's no answer there. Have all the gifts of healing? There's no answer there. Do all speak with tongues? There's no answer there. Do all interpret? There's no answer there. But I can tell you that I've been in places where all the above has happened, and it was real, and it was right. But there were different parts of the body used by God to bring edification to the body. But the instruction says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. So, something more excellent than being an apostle, something more excellent than being a prophet, something more excellent than being called and gifted as a teacher, something more excellent than being a gifted miracle worker, having gifts of healings, having gifts of tongues, being filled with the gift of interpretation. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet these gifts. They're the best. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Want to be able to do all that, but don't leave off love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let us all stand. Jesus Christ is love. God is love. And His body has to be exactly what He is. Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Be kind to them who are against you. Be nice to those who are not being nice to you. Show kindness. Show consideration. If a believer says, I'm a believer, I don't care what he is, God is bringing forth a birth and he needs his body involved here. Let us praise him. Everybody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be that body, don't we, members in particular? Glory to God. Would you pray and ask the Lord to help you today? Hallelujah. We want to fulfill the purpose of that body. Glory. The purpose. Not destroying one another, but helping one another. Not casting away, but gathering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Perhaps today that there's someone here that wants to be a part of this body. You want to draw near to God. So maybe for once you're going to actually get it. Get what we're saying when we invite you to come. And actually get a hold of believing God and repenting. And what that really means. If you can get just those two things to start, then you'll be going in the right direction. But if you can't, then you're just going to keep going through the same old, same old. Hallelujah. I'm talking to those that need to come to Him. This is how you come to Him. With a desire and a hunger. God, I want you. I want to live for God. I don't want to be living in sin anymore. Put a cap on all the questions and bring some repentance. Bring some getting down to business so you can be a part of this body where the healing is, the miracle, much more. I welcome all you to come, whosoever will, especially you that really need Him the most. If you're not yet Holy Ghost filled, there's a place for you here today. There's no reason why you should leave this place without the Spirit of God in your life. Hallelujah. So come and let's pray.
Because He lives.
Hallelujah. Because He lives.
I can face tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Because He lives. Fear is gone.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
Because
I know.
He holds the future. My life is worth the living just because He
because He lives, you can face Him. tomorrow.
I can take tomorrow
because He lives. Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
Glory. We praise You. God, we thank You for the understanding of who we are. Hallelujah. What we should be as members. Taking the same care one for the other. And reaching out to that which is yet to become members. Hallelujah. Who are also of Your fold. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for removing us out of isms and schisms, hateful attitudes, and blindness and deafness, and a rotten spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Getting us harvest ready. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you call on His name one more time? Would you just reach a little?